Is what it's all about. Welcome to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are live, as always, in Clearwater, Florida today, and excited and blessed to be able to serve the Lord on this beautiful day. Man, isn't it beautiful out there today?
Oh, it's one of those wonderful Florida days out
yes.
there. It's great.
Yeah, I guess there's a storm brewing somewhere, but right
somewhere.
Here it's blue and it's cloud. It's beautiful clouds.
Well, right here, the sun's shining two ways.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah,
the sun. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, the sun outside is beautiful and warm, and the sun within us.
Amen.
The sun of God.
Amen. So we're excited to share about the Son
Absolutely.
Of God within us today, this Memorial Day weekend 2012. And tomorrow's Memorial Day, we'll have a big picnic party at Honeymoon Island, weather permitting, which we assume it will. So, you know, it's going to be a fun time just getting out there and swimming and having fun in the sun and picnicking and all that good stuff. Don't you look forward to those times?
Oh, yes. We've had several since I've been attending church. And it's just a blast. You just get together and fellowship in a different way with each other and just play around and have a good time.
Oh, yeah. And then a lot of times we water baptize. If there's anybody that wants to be water baptized tomorrow, then we will do that also. And last year we baptized like 18, so it was pretty cool.
I was baptized last July 4th.
Yes. Yeah. So we had a lot of good baptismal time last summer. So we're looking forward to that. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area and want to come have a good picnic time, we will have our tents up on Honeymoon Island down at the south end. And we will have a banner that says, I forgot to bring that banner. I just reminded myself, just look for the tents out by the water. So anyway, I just remember that. Anyway, we're so glad you've joined us today live on this show. And I wasn't here last week. I was moving and I always miss being on the show, Nan. It was, you guys held the fort down very well and we're glad you did, but I always miss it if I'm not here.
Well, we're glad you felt that way about us, and we missed having you here, too. It's just not
Pastor
exactly
Jim,
the same.
But Pastor Jim
here.
Did a great job.
He did a wonderful job.
And you and Connie were on.
Connie, yes.
So today we got Aaron and Madeline joining us in a little while, but as we kick off this Memorial Day weekend. And we're going to be talking about this series that I'm doing right now, Where Your Heart Is. And we're going to amplify on that. And Nan, and really talk about our hearts and how important it is that our hearts are centered on the Lord and that our priorities are right and that we have a purpose in our life and we have a desire to be what God wants us to be. How very important all that is.
You said priorities in
yes.
our heart. You know, sometimes we get where our priorities aren't where they need to be, and that we'll go back and reflection on where you stand spiritually.
Sure.
You know, if you get other things higher priorities than God.
Right.
He should be number one. And
Absolutely.
Then he'll show other little things that you do, ministries or whatever. But he's to be number one.
He's got to be
period.
Number one. That's what he wants. And that's what he asks of us, you know, that we surrender to him. So part of this whole radio show that we do, Living the Good Life, is talking about personal experiences with the Lord. It's also teaching the word. It's also having times to just chat about how God's word changes our lives. And we're going to be doing all of that. And then we have always some just really great music, which is fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's a blast.
If you're in the Tampa Bay area and do not have a church that you regularly attend, Nan, why don't you invite them to Beacon? Why don't you do that? Because you're doing that all the time with people, aren't you?
Well, sometimes. Yeah, if you're in the Tampa Bay area and you don't have a home church, we certainly would never try pulling one from another church.
Right.
But if they do not attend regularly, you're in our area, you don't attend regularly, come on down and try out Beacon. I think that you'd be really, really pleased our family there. We're all family, you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord.
Yes.
You're so friendly. You know, I mean, you come in and there'll be many of them will hug you or shake your hand and say, welcome to Beacon. And,
absolutely.
And what is neat about that is from the heart.
Right.
There's no fronts. And then if you stay, hang around longer, you'll see while there really wasn't a front, they really care about you.
Absolutely.
And it's a very loving, loving group.
You found that out a few years ago when you joined us.
Yes, yeah. I did.
We're at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. Really, it's very easy if you're coming from Tampa or other areas to get right off of 275 right on Almerton, down a few blocks. We're not far. Easy to find.
Very easy to find.
What happens on Sunday morning, Nan?
Oh, we have a fantastic praise and worship time. The Holy
Spirit. What a band, huh? What a praise band.
We have a great praise band. They function in a real unity fashion.
Yes.
Which I know that is why the Lord is able to utilize them to minister to us, even in our praise and worship, while we're singing praises unto Him.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we have the world's best teacher preacher. That would be you.
Oh, well, thank you, Nan.
You're welcome,
yeah,
Pastor.
Brownie points for you today.
I'm trying. Now, the anointing is on the Word.
Yes, it's the Word.
That's the biggest thing about that church is the anointing is in what is going on, whether it's a praise and worship, whether it's a morning sermon, or even a Wednesday night teaching, which is a little bit different format than Sunday morning. The anointing is there, and that's what counts.
That's what it's all about. And by the anointing, and like our opening song says, the river of God's anointing, the anointing is God's presence in our lives. And I tell you, the glory of the Lord is also another way to put the presence of God or the anointing. But you know when you have it, that anointing working, and you know when it's missing. Don't you?
Yes, you do.
And when you have it, you feel like, whoa, okay, this just fit with that. And this, oh, I feel God's presence so strongly. And, you know, there's been times in my life, Nan, when I was preaching that I felt like, man, something was missing. I was off kilter or something was wrong, you know, or there was some kind of attack spiritually. But I tell you, usually I feel the anointing so strong. Today was no exception. Mm-hmm. It was powerful how God put together that sermon and brought us to the point where we could get to talking about Pentecost Sunday, which is today also,
yes.
which we're also going to weave that in today with today's show. But it's all about the presence of God in our lives. That's what it's about. That's what church should be about, drawing us closer to the very presence of God and understanding what He wants to do in our lives in greater measure. It's wonderful.
Well, the anointing, I stopped with Wednesday night. I need to go ahead and move on to the Sunday radio show. The anointing is just so much prevalent in our radio shows. And the anointing on Connie.
Yeah.
God's presence on Connie as she prays and seeks God as far as what songs. I mean, almost every radio show we say, wow, that song just fit.
And,
you know, all she knows is a general topic.
She knows a general topic.
That's all she knows, but God knows the whole plan.
Exactly.
And He brings
what
it together with
done.
Anointing.
And He knows what
her.
He wants done today.
Yes.
Let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You today for this time on the air on this wonderful radio station. We thank You for this opportunity. Lord, we pray that every listener that listens now or later on our website will draw closer to You as a result of this show. Lord, we thank You for Your anointing that's going to be on the music and on the words that are spoken, on the chat, on the teaching. Lord, we thank You for Your presence in this show today. Let it draw us closer to You. God, that is our goal, that we just be held closer to You and in Your presence this day. So we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we praise You for what You're going to do today. We're going to start with a song that we love around Beacon of Hope. DL presented it to us a while back. And I think somebody else, I think Alice had done this a couple years back. Praise is What I Do. William H. Murphy.
Come on, songs. It goes like this.
Praise is what I do when I want to be close to You.
Church.
I will praise You while I can. How yes, You act all times.
I vow
to praise You.
When you gonna praise Him, church?
Through the good and the bad.
you owe him. Give him what you owe him. Give him what you owe him, church. Praise is what I do. Even when I'm going through.
Even when I'm going.
See, I finally learned, church.
I've learned to worship you.
Yeah, yeah. And I declare,
no, my circumstance
doesn't even
stand a chance.
Praise God. Praise is what I do. Praise God. We love that song. Go with me to Psalm 103. You're listening to Living the Good Life. Psalm 103, praise the Lord. This was written by David, who we are going to talk about a lot today. David, and our subject is where your heart is. And this was the heart of David. Psalm 103, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here they are. Here are the benefits. This is what David talks about here, and what we all are very familiar with these benefits. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. I think the operative word there, Nan, is all. It's all. He forgives all your diseases.
All. That's
all your
exciting.
Sins,
all.
I'm sorry, and heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Mm. Wow. David understood praise. Aaron and Madeline, are one of you on the line there?
Yeah, we're both here.
Are you? Great. Why was David so stressing praise? Because to both of you, on Wednesday night, we have been going through the Psalms, and we're about halfway through them, and we have been seeing this theme through the book of Psalms over and over again, and we have seen that most of the first 60 or 70 Psalms were written by David. And the theme of praise is here over and over and over again, like it is right here in Psalm 103, where David says, praise the Lord, O my soul. It's like he's talking to himself. Here's what I want you to do, soul. I want you to get with it and praise God. There are times that we don't feel like praising God, right? Whichever one of you wants to respond. We got two people on the air today on call. That's cool.
Yeah, I definitely think that there are times when we don't feel like praising God.
Right.
I think that he blesses, I feel like he blesses almost even more when we praise him through circumstances or through, you know, like, I feel like he honors that, you know, when we
yes.
come to him, when we don't necessarily feel like that, you know?
Right. In other words, it becomes more of a sacrifice of praise. We know we should praise. We may not start out feeling like we want to, but something changes. Madeline, I want you to address that, as sometimes we all have times in our lives where we don't feel like praising God, but then something happens, doesn't it?
It does, and, you know, we can remember that on the days that it's easy to praise, when everything's going great and we're happy and we're just thanking God because we're just filled with joy because everything is going our way, so to speak.
Right.
And it's those times that I start out praising Him when I'm kind of, you know, weepy. And I start out, you know, not doing it maybe with all the joy and praise I can muster up. But slowly it changes as I start to just say the words, or if I'm singing, or if I'm just speaking and praying. You know, it slowly changes, and it really does help. I mean, it's amazing how He does that for us, that all we have to do is just, you know, show Him, Lord, we're here, we want it. And even though I'm feeling low and full of despair right now, I'm going to try to do this anyway. And it
exactly.
just does. It changes.
It changes us right before our eyes, because I know from personal experience that when you make the effort to begin to praise God because you know you should and because you really want to, it's just maybe your emotions are giving you a rough day, or you're going through something bad, or you've just had bad news, or something is frustrating or depressing or causing anxiety in your life, because you know that you should be praising God. When you make that effort as an act of your will, it's like God just sees that effort, and suddenly, as you begin to praise Him and get your mind off of your own stuff, things really do change. I mean, one of you, go ahead with that concept here. Maybe from personal experience.
It's the truth. It's, you know, like I said, I mean, there's times where I'm just at, you know, a low point, and it would be easy not to praise. It would be easy to just sit and wallow in the unhappiness, or like you said, maybe something happened that day, you know, you got bad news or whatever. It would be easy to just sit there and say, Lord, I'm not sure why you're not helping me here, but, you know, I'm just going to be mad and not, you know, not do anything about it, but sulk. And I've done that before and nothing changed.
Right.
But on the days that I forced myself slowly, you know, to start, even if I was crying while I was doing it,
right,
I would just start saying the, you know, the words of praise. I would just start, you know, if I didn't know what to say, I would just open the Bible and, like you said, go to Psalms or something and just speak the words.
Yes.
And the words would start to slowly get in my heart and
yes.
change my mood and give me the faith and remember that He's there, because the fact that He's responding and I'm feeling better proves to me that He's there and He cares. He doesn't want me to be in that pit.
Absolutely.
Want me to be happy and change my life.
Absolutely, Madeline. And the word says that God loves our praise. He ordained it. He declared, this is what I want you to do. I want you to praise me. And the reason we're starting with Psalm 103, because I just love this Psalm of David. It's one of my favorites. And when it starts out, praise the Lord, O my soul, in the New American Standard, I think in the King James, doesn't it, Nan, say, bless the Lord, O my soul?
Yes.
Bless the Lord. Okay. But blessing and praising God are the same thing. But when we are commanding our emotions to get in line with the veracity, the truth of who God is and what He does in our lives, that begins to send a message to our emotions saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm not going to let this thing or this situation or this person or this event drag me down to the pit. Because David says here in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. It's like you're commanding your soul level, which is your mind, your emotions, and your will, to get in line with the truth of what God's word says about God. Because David says in verse 2, forget not all His benefits. So when we start remembering the benefits, then we have so much to praise Him about. Aaron, comment on that, will you? Remembering the benefits.
I just think that I think sometimes as well, like, I feel like it's my submission, you know, like, to the Lord, to praise Him when things aren't always perfect in my, you know, situation or circumstances. You know what I mean?
Right. And Aaron, so you play guitar and you lead a lot of the songs during our worship service. And Madeline, you're the drummer, and you guys are wild up there. We love you. But Aaron, what happens to you personally when you begin to take the platform and begin to strum your guitar and begin to sing those words to those songs? I mean, today's service was so powerful. And the words of the music, when you began to sing Our God Reigns, which was not even the song we were planning on doing, but you just felt the Lord. Talk to us about what was going on the inside of you, Aaron, at that moment.
Honestly, I just felt it. Like, I just felt like, you know, we had Potter's Hand planned for that slot, I guess you might say, but I don't know, and not that that's not a great song, because I love that song. But I just felt like, he was, like, really, like, that song, the Our God Reigns, was just really there. I felt like it was upon us. Like, that was what, you know, like, that's what I felt like in that very moment. I felt like he was just reigning over us. Does that make sense? Like,
yes. And I mean, it was what, when we declare Our God Reigns, then that is a declaration. I'm going to use that word twice in the same sentence. It's a declaration about our circumstances that God reigns over no matter what it is we're going through. Right?
Right. And I think too, you know, just with working with DL, you know, in these different workshops and stuff that we've been doing, you know, he pointed out that sometimes God's going to come in like a mighty king, you know.
Right.
And then there's sometimes where it's like so much more subtle than that, you know.
Yeah.
Just felt like today, like he was. I mean, he was so there, you know?
Yes, and he was reminding of us of his supremacy over all the situations that try to drag us down. And I believe David is reminding us of that in Psalm 103 when he says, "I forget not all his benefits," because we're so often forget the fact that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can get on a guilt trip. We can get on a condemnation trip and go down that path and get led down into feeling sorry for ourselves. Madeline, I want you to comment on that. Forgives all our sins, the benefit of that, and how as we praise God, that should just kind of rise to the top within us where we realize what he does for us.
I think it does. And, you know, I agree. I like what Aaron said about, you know, submitting. And you know, I think that he does, that's part of the reward. You know, when we do what we're supposed to do, which is real simple stuff, you know, just communicating with God, you know, praising him.
Yes.
Taking time for worship, taking time to listen to him, you know, all the things that we should be doing, you know, on a daily basis, which sometimes we don't always allow ourselves to do. Then, I mean, the rewards are great and they're promised.
Yes.
You don't have to think, oh, is God gonna, you know, is God gonna solve this situation, or is he gonna give me an answer to my questions? He is. You know,
yes.
Again, it may not always be the way we think it is, but he will. He 100% always comes through. He promises that he will, and he does. We just have to play our part.
So when we begin to praise God and we say, well, I thank you, God, that you forgive all my sins and you heal all my diseases, then it is so much easier to reach out in faith and believe God for that forgiveness or that healing, because God's word promises us that through the pen of David right here in Psalm 103. And that's why we should be praising God, because he does forgive all our sins and he does heal our bodies.
He does. And I think the thing that I learned, that I feel like that's what's hard for people sometimes, that in our humanness, we forget that healing may not look the way we think it
right.
will.
Right, yeah.
So when we're praying for people that, you know, have a disease and they don't survive the disease, you know, they were healed, but just in a different way.
Absolutely.
They weren't healed
yes.
to stay here on earth. They were healed to go home and be with him.
Right, absolutely.
And we just have to trust that his healing is the right healing, even though it may give the, you know, people grief and you know, and heartache because we're going to miss them, it's still his what he needed to happen.
In other words, he's in charge. Right. He's in charge. And he still brings healing and heals our diseases, even if it may mean that that person is released into the arms of Jesus for all eternity. That's what you're saying.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love verse 4 here in Psalm 103, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. I don't know about two of you, but there's times where the devil tries to take you down to the pit. He tries to take you down to the pit of despair, of discouragement, defeat, anxiety, fear, worry, all of those things. And we should be praising God because David says he redeems your life from the pit. Aaron, have you ever been there, girl? You ever been in the pit?
Oh, man, I have so been in the pit.
You've so been in the pit?
I've so been in
Well, join
and
everybody else.
All you just mentioned, you know, like worry and anxiety and despair. And I've experienced that at all, you know.
Right.
But it's so reassuring that we've been saved from the pit.
Amen. We have. And we absolutely can walk above the circumstances in our lives. That doesn't mean we don't have to deal with things sometimes that are difficult. Doesn't mean that. It means that we can learn to rise above it. And a big reason we can is because we learn how to praise God. Ooh, Madeline, comment on that. I tell you what, I can preach another 3 hours on that right there, that concept. But go ahead.
Yeah, I liked what you said when you said that in service today. It got me thinking when you said that, you know, we can walk above our circumstances. And I liked the thought of that because, you know, it's the reality is we have our circumstances. They exist, you know, and at times they're going to be much harder than at other times.
But right.
With his help, we can do it. And the thing is that, you know, there were times in my life where, I mean, I always kind of communicated with God, but I certainly didn't do this positive, you know, praise and thanking him for things that haven't happened already. And so I've already seen the changes by doing that. And every time a situation comes up, if I make sure that I remember, okay, I need to, you know, start praising and thanking God, it gets a little easier each time. And soon I'll be doing it without ever having to think. You know, I'll just be doing it automatically, and I believe that it's going to make the harder situations in my life go by faster. It's not going to take them away. It's not going to make my life magically good all the time, but it's going to help me to get through them better.
That's right.
And with his constant help and guidance.
Absolutely. That's what it does. Because the more you walk this walk of praise, what happens is it becomes second nature to you. And soon you're praising God. When a problem hits, you get bad news, you have a bad situation at work, whatever. Instead of going into panic mode, it becomes second nature that you just begin to praise God. Lord, I praise you in spite of what's going on right now. I don't like what's going on, but I'm going to praise you because you, God, are able to straighten this mess out. You are able to give me wisdom. You're able to give me peace in the crisis. You're able to help me rise above what I am feeling in my emotions right now. And instead of concentrating on what I'm feeling, I am going to concentrate on your greatness, God, who you are. And so I praise you that you can and will see me through this situation. And you just begin to think in those terms. Aaron, your turn. Talk to me about this. And where is she?
I'm here.
Okay.
We were passing the phone, sorry.
Oh, all right.
I just really feel like, I think that the way that the song, you know, praises what I do.
Yes.
Know my circumstance, they don't even stand a chance, you know? I mean, I just think that says it all. Like,
right.
And I think that, you know, there's obviously a time where God allows us to go through through things and, you know, see, you know, what we do, how we
right.
handle things.
Yes.
But I also have confidence in knowing that he's never left my side.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. And because we have that confidence and we know that no matter how tough it gets or no matter how difficult the situation, God's right there. I want to give a little historical part about David right here before I come back to you, Madeline. David was, as we talked a couple weeks ago, he was anointed to be the second king of Israel when King Saul had proven that he was going to continue to be disobedient and rebellious. God decided, all right, we're going to find somebody new here. David, little David in 1 Samuel 16, was anointed to be the second king of Israel. However, he wasn't immediately put in that position. Okay. Instead, he was allowed to go through 14 or 15 years of very difficult times. And I think this really speaks to our life situation. So often we know God is moving us into a certain ministry, or we know that God is promising to open certain doors in our lives. Perhaps some of you out there are believing God for a better job or different financial blessings, or maybe you're believing God for a child that's got a lot of issues to come to the Lord. And having gone through that with my daughter Lori for so many years, it was just so often I just had to hang on to what God's word said about my daughter, regardless of what the circumstances were and how things were going, you know, in the natural. So I say all that to say that's what happened to David. David went 14 or 15 years after being anointed as the second king of Israel before the crown was ever placed on his head, before he ever was in that office. And during that time, and we talked about it this morning at Beacon of Hope, King Saul became so enraged and jealous of David that he set out to kill him and to either kill him personally or have him killed in battle. And he waged quite a campaign for many, many years to have David killed. In fact, the scripture says to us in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel that King Saul tried 21 times to kill David. He tried through putting him on the front lines of a battle, hoping he would get killed, and to as much as personally throwing a javelin at him to try to pin him at the wall, on the wall. He did that twice. And he tried a lot of different things to kill David. But the truth of the matter was, David had this relationship with God. His heart was entwined with God to such an extent that no matter what the devil through Saul tried to do, he was not successful. And David, through that time, wrote these Psalms that show us that where his heart was during all that time of running. Woo, I say all that to say, Madeline, your turn to comment on all that. Woo.
Isn't it great to have God's favor?
Yes. Yes.
And it's very, you know, hearing stories like that, you know, which, of course, makes me realize that we need to be in the Word, and we need to be in our Sunday service and our Bible studies to hear these things so that we're reminded that, you know, when we're in relationship with God, we're going to have his favor like that.
Yes.
And we just, you know, we just have to do our part. It's so hard sometimes that, you know, I get frustrated with myself and I think to myself, gosh, I know what I have to do. I know how easy it is when I do it. I get the answers that I'm looking for. I get, you know, results from things that are going in my life. Again, not always the results I want, but still, isn't it great to have those results? Isn't it great to know that I can give my cares and worries and fears to God, and I don't have to carry them around? Oof, why would I want to when I don't have to?
Isn't it great
that we have a God that wants to take all of that from us?
Yes.
And give our life the direction that, you know, that it needs to be. And, you know, it's hard sometimes because we might have to wait. You know, there's things I pray about, and, you know, when I'll say, God, you know, I know that you're cultivating me right now, and I know that when the time is right, this and that's going to happen.
Right.
And I'm praising you for that now because I'm so happy knowing that this is going to all come together.
Absolutely.
You know, without me knowing all the circumstances.
But
and
that's faith.
Who wouldn't want that?
Well, it's faith, what you're describing, Madeline, reaching out and saying, God, because I know who you are and the way you react and the way you act, act in my life, the way you perform wonders and miracles, and the fact that your word says all through your word that you're a good God, that you love me. I love Nahum 1:7. It says, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows all those who put their trust in him. That's Nahum 1:7. One of my favorite verses, Nan. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows all those who put their trust in him. And that is what David did all through those years of running. He was so putting his trust in God continually and saying, God, I don't know how you're going to work this out, but I just am going to praise you. So many of these Psalms, Aaron, are written by David, as we've been talking about on our Wednesday night Bible study. And through these Psalms, over and over, David starts with, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's the first two lines of Psalm 34. Praise the Lord with guitars. Praise the Lord with, stringed instruments. All the way at Psalm 33, all the way over and over again, David is saying, Psalm 101, I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. And on, he's talking about praising God. Aaron, isn't that the reason we get up there in a service, not just us, but countless millions of people around the world, that we enter into praise and worship because we know how great God is? Comment on that, Aaron.
It is. It's crazy, too, to look at, just David and his life and everything. I mean, especially like when you're talking this morning and just a few minutes ago about him getting that spear like thrown at him,
Yeah.
It's crazy to kind of look at my own circumstance sometimes and then to look at David and be like, man, I really have, things pretty good on this side. I mean, he's, getting spears thrown at him.
You haven't had anybody throw a spear at you, Aaron?
I haven't.
Verbally, though, it happens, doesn't it?
What?
Sometimes verbally, we have people throw spears and daggers and all kinds of stuff at us. But fortunately,
with a look. But I mean, it gives me a little bit of inspiration to read about David and the circumstances that he's going through and to think, you know what, man, this guy had it really bad off. And to look at my own circumstance and think, like, I don't really have it that bad off.
Right.
You know what? I'm still God's child and I still have favor with God.
Yes.
I really liked what Madeline said about that, about having favor with the Lord.
Oh, absolutely. And Madeline, we're going to come back to you right now and amplify on that. And before you do, Psalm 5:12, which is also written by David, is one I quoted a few minutes ago. David said, he surrounds me with favor like a shield all the way around. Favor. Oh, go ahead, Madeline.
Well, favor was a new concept for me. I think I mainly started reading about it when I was watching Joel Osteen on TV and Coming to Beacon. And, at first I thought, well, favor with God, how do I get that? What do I have to do? And I, of course, came to learn that I have it already.
Right.
I have favor with God just because I'm his child and because he wants me to have the best life possible. And, I still have to do my part, of course, because if I'm not communicating with God on a daily basis or however often, I can go about my life and God knows what's happening with me. He knows every move I'm making. He knows where I am and what I'm doing, but I'm not engaging with him. So he's just waiting on me.
Right.
So I have to kind of activate, that favor. And by talking with him, by praying, by praising, by, having that intimate communication with him on a daily basis. So he knows I want this.
Exactly.
So I want all that he has for me. And I want to know, what I have to do to have that by listening to him. What is the path you have for me, Lord?
Amen.
Where do you want me to be so I can you know, do everything for your glory and, you know, just give you all the praise for it.
Amen. Madeline, it's like somebody who applies for and gets a credit card, a new credit card in the mail. And when you get this credit card and they say on the paper that you have, let's say, $1,000 credit on there, and they say you got to call this number and get it activated, but you go, I don't want to do that. I don't want to mess with that. I'm just going to go use this credit card. And you find, oh, wait a minute, you can't use that credit card without the activation process, right?
Mm-hmm. And the you have to get in there and, you know, let God know. I'm so grateful that I know now what I have to do, because I didn't before. I was a passive, I don't know what the right terminology is, but I'll say a passive, you know, God follower. You know, I would go about my day, and if things went right, I'd be like, okay, thank you, God. And I'd say my, you know, my Our Father and my the prayers that I learned as a kid, as a Catholic kid. And, you know, I just, it was all very not participatory. You know, it was one-sided. It was me saying words at God and not realizing that, you know, I could hear back from him.
Exactly.
And it's such a great, wonderful time now, because when I pray, and I pray how I want to pray, not just rote prayers, but, you know, we have a conversation, and, you know, and I sing or whatever goes on, and I listen, you know, because it is a two-way conversation now.
Right.
Instead, that's exciting.
That is, because you know you can just talk to him, and it's a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's the most, you know, intimate personal relationship I have, because God knows my heart.
Amen.
He knows more than sometimes I know, because sometimes I don't realize things until he brings them to my attention.
Absolutely. Woo! We're going to talk about that more on the other side of this new song by Sela, I Turn to You.
From home, and the cold starts to blow, when I'm empty and alone, I turn to you. When there's hardness in my heart, I
great song. I've never heard that. I Turn to You. Amen. Just perfect song for what we're discussing right now. Oh, what else can I do? I Turn to You, Jesus. Let's go to Psalm 63, another psalm written by David. This was one, he was in the desert of Judah, and he was, again, running, and he was in battles, and he was in a different and a difficult time. Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. I'm going to talk to you, Madeline and Aaron, about this in a minute. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Getting to the place that our soul thirsts for God, longs for God, really. Verse 2 of Psalm 63, I have seen you in the sanctuary. Boy, we do a lot at Beacon. And beheld your power and your glory. Verse 3 of Psalm 63 is a song that we used to sing years ago. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. These are the words of David, dear ones. These are the words of David. Verse 4 of Psalm 63. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. That's why we lift up our hands in worship. This was started a long time ago. This isn't new, this day and age. This has been from way, way back, thousands of years ago, that people were instructed by the Lord to raise their hands in praise and worship. David says here in verse 4 of Psalm 63, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Singing lips, Nan, singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Woo! Singing That's what lips. We're supposed to be doing, isn't it?
And we better get busy and do it.
We better be getting busy and do it. On my bed, verse 6 of Psalm 63, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. You know, there's times we wake up in the middle of the night and we have all these thoughts racing. I'll tell you a way to get that to stop. Start meditating on God right then. Start praising him. And we'll talk to Madeline and Aaron about this in a minute. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. Ah, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. You know, anxiety, worry, all that junk. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. And he's here, he's talking about people, but it can also be the situations in our lives. But the king, that's David, will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Wow, isn't this a cool psalm, Madeline?
Yes.
I will.
Very cool.
Yeah. You're my God. Earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. And in a dry and thirsty, weary land where there's no water. Oh, this is the place we have to get to, Madeline. I believe with all my heart that we long for God. We long for more of God. And this is Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to tie that in this next hour. But longing for God, like needing him, like requiring him, it's more than just a haphazard, casual relationship with God or a knowledge of him, but it is an intense relationship. That's what I want to say, that God wants us to have. Go ahead, comment on that, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, you know, hearing that, you know, through the verses, it's, you know, it's like, gosh, I want to feel that way.
Yes.
You know, I really want to feel that. And the one time in my life that I can relate to that I felt probably the closest to that I ever did was when I was young. I was about 12 years old, and I went on a church retreat, and I had such a great experience where I feel like Jesus kind of revealed himself to me in another person. And when I left that retreat after the weekend, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I couldn't stop, you know, it's kind of when any relationship is new, you're just thinking about it and thinking about it. And I was, you know, reading the Bible every day, and I just was so caught up in it. I was so happy. I was full of joy. That was like a true joyous time in my life. And I always said I want to get back to that.
you know, and I don't know how exactly to feel that type of, you know, joy and elation that I remember experiencing as a, you know, 10 or 12-year-old kid. But it was such an amazing thing. It was just, you know, it was true and honest and real, you know.
And I love what you're saying here. I honestly believe that as we begin to understand that we can feel that way, you know, I think a lot of times we get cynical, Madeline, as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
We get cynical, we get complacent, we get comfortable, if you will, with life and our opinions. And, oh, mom did it this way, so I'm going to do it this way. And, yeah, my grandma always did react like that. I guess I will, too. You know, we fall into those habit patterns, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I think that, you know, that's what happened. I mean, you know, I'm much older than I was when I was 10 and 12 years old.
Just
and,
a little bit. Just
know,
a little
I've
bit.
Got, I've got 30-plus years of life that I've experienced in that time that, you know, where I didn't every day cultivate that relationship that I formed with him back at that age. I didn't, you know, I didn't follow up every day. It, of course, wore off after a certain time because I stopped and, you know, life happened and whatever went on in my life that, you know, I kind of stopped pursuing it. And, you know, and here I am all these years later knowing that you can have it. I mean,
yes.
I remember those feelings clear as if they happened yesterday. And I, you know, I'm seeking now to feel that again. I want to feel that joy because it felt, and of course, as a child, I think it's easier to get to that place because we haven't had our whole lives yet. But I want to feel that completeness.
Yes.
You know, I felt complete. I didn't need anything else. I had that because I did have friends at school who didn't want to hear any of that.
Right.
So I kind of had some, you know, persecution, if you will, because I wanted to talk about it.
Right.
And people didn't want to hear it, but I didn't care then. I was like, okay, I'm feeling this, and I'm not,
exactly.
You know, you're not going to take it away from me.
You know, I think a lot of times, Madeline, that when we go through difficult struggles in our life and we're in situations where we really don't have much recourse but to either turn to God or become bitter against God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There are those times that we begin to go, okay, I refuse to be mad at God about these situations or this that's going on in my life, and I'm going to turn toward him and begin to seek him. And the word promises us that when we seek him, like David says here, like he says in Psalm 27, when we begin to seek him with all our heart, and like David says here, when our soul is satisfied, we're just like thirsting after him. God, I want all you have for me. Then we remember those times in our life, like you're describing right now, where we were in that framework, that mindset of seeking God and needing him and how God delivered us from certain situations. We don't ever forget those events, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, forever, my faith was cemented.
Right.
Because he revealed himself to me in a way that you could never convince me otherwise. You know, I knew that this was real, and, you know, God, you know, sent his son and the whole bit. And that it changed my life, obviously.
Changed your life.
If I didn't have that, who knows where I'd be now.
Right. Exactly. And I really feel that as we draw close to God, I mean, James 4:7-8 says it, draw close to God and he will draw close to you. The responsibility is on us to seek him. The responsibility is on us to reach out to God. And this is Memorial Day weekend. And as you were just talking, Madeline, it reminded me of my dad, who is now in heaven with the Lord. But in World War II, he was 18 years old and a freshman in college. And there to, with a full scholarship, to become a medical doctor, which is what he had wanted to do. And he was drafted into World War II, like a lot of the guys back in the 40s were. And my dad ended up in a very precarious situation in Germany. And he ended up, because he was a good runner, as also is one of my sons, and now my grandson's coming on, he had that ability, long, lanky legs, you know, to really run. And he ended up, Nan, this is really cool, I think, about my dad. He was a runner on the front lines in World War II. And this was before cell phones and technology, of course. So they had Morse code. You know, so that a lot of the messages were delivered from one general to another on paper. Okay, they actually were paper. And as this Memorial Day weekend, it reminds me that my dad had such a crisis, Madeline, of fear overtake him when he realized he was going to be running with bandoliers of bullets all over him, you know, and carrying the messages from one general to another. He ended up with the Bronze Star, which I am very, very proud of that he did this. And my dad was not a man of great courage prior to this. He was a fearful kid, you know. He was just a kid in high school, just out of high school. And he was just like, and now he's called upon to run between general to general on the front lines. And people like my dad have done that for this country and had to stand up and do courageous things, which we honor them this weekend. But also in the area of faith, Madeline, God is calling us as Christian soldiers to rise up and seek him and get out there on the front lines and do drastic things for the kingdom of God. You know what I mean?
Surely. Well, yeah, because during that time, I mean, again, being that age, I'm sure, as well, but, you know, I didn't have any fear at that time.
Meaning,
right. You know, I knew that I was alienating some friends and things, but I didn't care. Because,
right.
You know, I just felt like I was so filled with this joy of God.
Yes.
You know, unbelievable knowledge that I had that, wow, this is real, you know, because there's so many things your parents and elders tell you when you're younger that kind of turn out not to be real.
Right.
And this was real, and I saw it, and I felt it and believed it, and it was so awesome. And so, I mean, that just kind of built my faith right now, thinking that, wow, if I can, you know, get myself back to that place by meditating, you know, on God and his word,
amen,
I will lose the fear that I have about things in life that I have
yes.
fear on.
And yes.
Wouldn't that be awesome to be in that state again with no fear?
Amen. And that's really,
I want that.
That's it. And, you know, David said that in Psalm 27, which was my dad's favorite chapter. David starts that whole chapter out, and we'll go there because we'll go into that in the next hour. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And that's Psalm 27 written by David in drastic times. That's what my dad hung on to, and that's what we've got to hang on to. Aaron, comment on all of this before we go to our station break in a couple minutes.
I was just going to say, too, one of the Psalms that I like is, when I am afraid, I will trust in you.
Yes, yes.
Back to what you were saying about longing.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
There's a song, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you.
Psalm 40,
and,
yes.
And I think that's just such a great picture, you know, like, because when you think about a deer, and I was talking to somebody about this the other night, I want to say it was Madeline, about how, you know, when they are running and they spot that water, after they've been running, they're literally panting, you know, and they're so longing to get to that water. And it's just a really great picture, you know.
It is, yes,
of that longing.
It's actually Psalm 42. I said 40 a minute ago, but it's 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? And down to verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. And this psalmist is basically saying, I used to be at that place, Madeline, kind of what you're describing. I used to be at that place where I was so full of joy, so full of the presence of God. What's happened? We're going to talk about that in our second hour of Living the Good Life station identification.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
Amen. We welcome all of you. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, live here in the studio in Clearwater. My friends Nan, Aaron, and Madeline are in various places contributing to the show today on this Memorial Day weekend of 2012. And we're glad that you've joined us. And we're talking about David. We're teaching a series right now, Where Your Heart Is. And we're talking about the heart of David. God says of David that he had a heart after God. And that's what we're talking about, that we want in our lives. And so often that desire gets short-circuited, if you will. We had a short circuit in our home this week. Nan, we had a problem. They hooked up my computer. We moved last weekend. They hooked up my computer and all that stuff. And then they were getting ready to leave. Everything was fine. They go, oops, there it went. And the power went out on that socket, okay? Now, 4 days later, they're sending people trying to figure out the problem. You know how frustrating that is? Because the next minute it would work. Okay? They come out, the first time they came out with the technician on Monday, they said, oh, everything's fine. It's all working fine. I said, well, hasn't been all weekend. Oh, well, it is now, so that's great. And see ya. And so they hadn't any sooner gotten out of the door than it was gone again. And took another two trips to get it straightened out. And it was one little wire at the beginning of the circuit of those four plugs around the room. One wire had slipped off of its connection. So, Nan, what does that say?
Need to stay connected.
And doesn't that happen to us? We're coming back to you, Madeline and Aaron, in just a second.
I think sometimes we get ourselves in situations that we're not totally connected. And when we're in that situation, you can see it. You can see things. You know, if I don't stay connected, say in my prayer time,
right?
Keep that prayer line going with God and listening to God. Also,
amen.
I can feel the effects.
Yes,
I have felt the effects.
What happens to you?
You feel really out of it,
right?
You don't function. You just can't function
as well.
You know,
no.
Maybe things that were bothering you, but through prayer, they weren't bothering you because God was in control. All of a sudden, we were not praying anymore, and all of a sudden, it starts bothering us again.
Yeah, you know, the storms start really bothering us before.
And before, the storm hadn't changed. It was the same storm. It was me that had changed because I was not connected.
There you go. Aaron, you want to comment on this before we go to the next song by Casting Crowns, which, Aaron, you know what it's going to be. Praise You in the Storm.
Ooh. Oh, such a great song.
Yeah. But comment on that.
What? I'm sorry?
Go ahead and comment on all that Nan and I were just talking about.
You know, I think that Nan is right on. I think that we need to stay connected. And, you know, I think praising God through any sort of circumstance, bad circumstance or good circumstance that we have, is us staying connected.
Yes, yes. And it's hard sometimes to remember to do that. And if it is for any of you out there in radio land, make yourself a note. Put it on your bathroom mirror. I will bless the Lord at all times. You could just quote Psalm 34, the first few verses. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and rejoice. I love all that right there. Okay, let's listen to this song. And then, Madeline, I'm coming to you. Casting Crowns, Praise You in This Storm.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. Almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away.
To the hills, where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He'll not let my foot slip. He who watches over me will not slumber. Oh my, great words there. Madeline, let's come back to you. Praise him in the storm, honey. Praise him in the storm.
Always love that song. I remember when I first heard it, I would cry every time it would play.
I love that, by Casting Crowns. What a great, great group and great song. Go ahead.
It is. I mean, you know, Casting Crowns, I was just talking to Aaron about that. They have the great, they have the formula for making, you know, songs. They know how to put, you know, the biblical verses together with some great music and really
yes.
reach people and touch people. I remember a couple of times I've actually gone with Aaron and some others to see them.
Right.
And people, it's great to watch people's, you know, responses in the audience. They really, it's not so much them singing the words, but it's church. They're in
yes.
a worship mode.
Yes.
People have their eyes closed and their hands raised as they're singing that song and really feeling, you know, the meaning of that. And it's just, it's very moving to watch.
Oh, I know. It is. It's just amazing, isn't it? So in our circumstances, Madeline, there are times that we feel like it's all falling apart on us. You know, really? Does God expect us to praise him in the storm? I mean, come on.
It's, you know, it, it's a hard, I think it's hard in the beginning to think that we can do that, you know. But it's all learned behavior that we have, you know.
Right.
When tragedy strikes or whatever the circumstance is, I think we're taught inadvertently to be, you know, posture in a certain way. You know, we're supposed to be sad. We're supposed to be depressed. If people ask us what's going on, we're supposed to go on about, you know, the details and the circumstances. And,
right.
You know, I'm learning that the opposite is true. And it's not to say that you can't, you know, get support from your friends and family to work through the everyday of just, you know, knowing that you have the support of your friends and family as well. But we really have to relearn how we behave. And over, I'm being taught the lesson in the last couple of months from things that I'm reading that we can control our behavior.
Right.
It doesn't, you know, I can feel inside, I can feel like my heart is breaking.
Right.
But I don't have to act that way 24/7.
Right.
I can say to God, okay, God, you know my heart's breaking. I don't have to tell you. You know it. And that's one of my things that is on my daily list of prayers. I say, Lord, heal my broken heart and get all of the debris that has left in my mind out
Ooh.
Of it. To stop me from focusing on past hurts. And just look forward. And I ask him that every day, whether I'm feeling, you know, I don't always feel it, but I ask for that anyway because I know that stuff is in there. And on my vulnerable days, that the devil's just waiting to kick that back up into the, you know, foremost of my mind.
Boy, isn't that so true? Because it is those past hurts and failures and injustices and things that we have done wrong, you know, guilty things that cause shame, that the devil tries his best to use those things to keep us from walking in victory and keep us from walking in the presence of God. And if we have to learn how to let go of these things. You know, David went through a very difficult time with his with the situation that happened when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he had her husband Uriah killed. I mean, these are serious things that David did. And David had to decide right then and there, was he going to seek the forgiveness of God and walk in that forgiveness and allow God to heal him of the past hurts? Or was he going to just wallow in his mistakes and his wrongdoing? His sin, or was he going to come to God honestly before God and say, here I am, God. I don't want to live like this anymore. I'm so sorry. In other words, repentance. Aaron, let me come to you about this, because so often the devil just beats us up in these past mistakes and shameful things we've done, or ways that we feel like we've hurt people or done things that have caused problems for others or even for ourselves. How do we overcome this, Aaron? Let's talk about this.
You know, I think you're so right on that. He does do that. And I think we are so, sometimes we get so caught up in that, in that guilt or shame or whatever, and we forget to give credit where credit is due. That meaning that we forget to recognize who is putting that in our head.
Right. Exactly.
And who's bringing that back up for us.
Right.
Because we know that, that we have forgiveness in the Father and that He has taken that away. You know? That we don't have to live in that guilt or shame anymore.
Well, didn't we started out the show in Psalm 103, and where David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, or praise the Lord, O my soul, forget none of his benefits. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. Now, David knew God as the healer of his body and of his emotions and the forgiver of all his sins. I mean, this is why God said David was a man after his own heart. He understood the nature of God, that God is good, that God forgives, that God restores us. Ooh, comment on that before I go to preaching here, Aaron.
You know, it just reminds me of, there's a song by Audio Adrenaline, and they talk about, you know, that he separates our sins.
Yes.
And it's as if, you know, you threw...
like a shell and into the ocean, and it's just, it's so far, it's on the bottom of the ocean floor, you know?
Right.
It's just so far gone from you.
Right.
That, you know, when we have to remember that and keep that in the front of our minds, that God has done that for us.
Amen.
So, there's no reason for us to accept Satan's, you know, Satan telling us that we need to be guilty or that we, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. And we've got to take a strong stand when the devil tries that attack. And we have got to remember that when David said in Psalm 103, he has not dealt with us. This is verse 10 of Psalm 103. According to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness for us. And he forgives us, and he buries it in the deepest sea, which you were just talking about. He separates it as far as the east is from the west. Has he removed our transgressions from us? In other words, we are not going to live in victory like we need to do unless we realize that God really does forgive us. He really does let go of those things we've done. He does not bring it back to us and remind us. It's the devil who does all that. Madeline, you're up. Comment on that, because the devil tries to steal our joy. You know, we were talking about earlier, that joy of the Lord that is our strength. The devil tries so hard, and he uses condemnation, shame, and guilt to get at us all the time.
Right. And, you know, the thing is that if we believe, you know, all the things that we read about God, you know, in the Bible, if we believe that, you know, he is good and he has control of our lives, and he's got us in the palm of his hands, then we need to believe that when he forgives us, it's for good.
Yes.
It's not for today, and then, you know, tomorrow he's going to say, well, remember you did this. No, it's done. So
yes.
That's, again, part of our learned behavior, that we keep wallowing in the things that keep us in that down place. And you know, again, with the jabs of the devil, you know, he knows when we're at our most vulnerable, and he sparks that up, and he says, well, you know, you may think that God forgives you, but I know better, and you know better. You know that you did that terrible, terrible thing, and there's no way that you can, you know, that can be repaid. And that's just total lies. We have to retrain ourselves to know that we don't have to believe that. We can rewrite our stories with a positive spin.
Hey, man.
And be grateful that we learned that lesson in the deed that we did that, you know, we're not happy about. I'm so glad I learned that lesson, because now I don't have to do it again, and God forgave me, and it's going to give me wisdom going forward, and it's going to give me the ability to perhaps help somebody else because I know better, and it's all good. We have
Amen.
To think differently.
Well, absolutely, Madeline. And the thing is, when we go to God and we're sincere and we operate under 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we go to God in a situation, whatever it might have been, a lie, I don't know, a deception, an angry moment where we said things we shouldn't have, I don't know, in a myriad of things. And we go to God and we say, you know what, here it is, I did this, I confess this as sin, forgive me, Lord, restore me, restore the joy of my salvation. And when we sincerely go to God with that kind of an attitude, I mean, absolutely, he forgives. He absolutely forgives. And then the next thing we need to be doing, in my opinion, Madeline, is to begin to really praise God and thank him for that forgiveness, and stop the devil at the door, and don't let him come through the door with, but that was really bad, and you, how can God really forgive you for that, and condemnation and shame. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. And, you know, the thing is, I think that sometimes we get fooled because, you know, after we ask God for forgiveness, sometimes we ask people for forgiveness and they may not forgive us.
Oh,
and
good point.
That's different than God.
People, right.
You know, sometimes are not able to forgive us. And we have to realize that that doesn't mean that God didn't.
Right.
It was so bad
oh, well, this must be, if so-and-so can't forgive me, then this must be a really bad one, and, you know, I'm not absolved of that. But, you know, God is different. God can forgive everything
right.
and anything. If you, like you said before, and that's really important, if you're sincere,
yes.
and you're not just one of those people who just says, well, I'll just do all these bad things, and then I'll just ask for forgiveness, and, you
right.
know, until someday when I'll give it all up, and I'll be able to just be good all the time. You know, you have to be sincere about that and not, you know, hopefully not repeat the bad behaviors.
Oh, I agree.
But I do think that we get fooled because, you know, unfortunately sometimes people are not going to forgive us and they're, you know, they're not going to want us, you know, maybe in their life anymore or whatever. And that's okay.
That's okay.
You know, God, if God wanted that way, then that's the way it has to be.
Right. And sometimes it's people's own stubbornness that they're not going to forgive. They're just going to hang on to the hurt or the travesty, whatever the travesty was, you know. They're just going to hang on to it. But the bottom line is that God does forgive, and we need to learn the absolute importance of going right on and praising God in as we receive forgiveness. We do not see David ever committing adultery again and having somebody's husband murdered. That was a one-time life event. He was repentant. You read Psalm 51. David is just absolutely beside himself with grief that he did the thing. Not that he got caught. You know, I think a lot of times, Aaron, a lot of people are just sad that they got caught. Not that they are really repentant. You know what I'm saying? Aaron, go to you with that.
Yes. I do. And I think, too, that, you know, for for people that are listening as well, you know, I think it's important for us to not necessarily, like, compare ourselves to David, you know, because I feel like there are certain mistakes that I have made, you know, that I'm like, oh, man, I messed up. And
right.
then I'll go along and, you know, I'll just be not thinking about something or even, you know, maybe I've thought and I've done it again. And I just feel like it's really important for people out there to know that, you know, not, I mean, like Madeline said, you know, it's, you can say that, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to do a bunch of horrible things or whatever, and then God will forgive me for it later. But I think there's a difference as well when you are trying to really turn your life around.
Absolutely.
And really do what God wants you to do.
Right.
And you mess up here and there.
Right.
You know, and I just want people out there to know that, you know, like, we're human. Like, we messed up.
Yes.
And I think he looks at our trying, you know?
Absolutely. He looks at our heart. That's what you're saying, Aaron. He looks at our heart, and he expects us to, yes, repent, but to get up and go on from there. We're going to resume this conversation in a minute, but listen to this old favorite of mine by the Imperials, Praise the Lord.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. That we are paupers, when he knows himself, we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the world's all.
God. Praise the Lord for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you as you praise him. Nan, comment on that.
You know, I was listening to gospel music back when the Imperials were
right,
in the
me
day.
Too.
So
yeah, back
aging
in the 70s.
A little bit there.
Yes.
But, you know, when hearing that song, you know, it was the difficult times in my life.
Right.
That I grew so much.
Right.
Because I praised the Lord. I didn't always do it right. I don't want anyone to think I didn't.
Right.
I'm a human. But, you know, I really learned what that song meant by
yes.
practical application.
Yes.
Because as I would praise the Lord in the midst of the chains that were binding me. And,
right.
the, you know, the divorce, the legal stuff, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Just to keep praising the Lord.
Yes.
And, you know, to see those chains fall.
Right.
Because you praise the Lord. And Satan, it kind of starts confusing me a little bit. Because well, that was supposed to throw her aside. That was supposed to say, I don't want God anymore.
Right.
You know, there may be people listening going, but you don't know what I'm going through. And they're right. I don't know what they're going through. But God knows what they're going through. And all they have to do, they need to just begin to praise the Lord. Right there in the circumstances. You can't necessarily praise the Lord. Well, you can praise the Lord. And you should when it's fixed.
Right.
But when it's in the midst of being fixed, of needing to be fixed.
Absolutely do it
that's
then.
When you grow so much in the Lord by praising him in the midst of the problem.
Ooh, thank you, Nan. She just had to say those words. Which one of you want to talk next? Speak up.
I'm here.
Talk to us.
You recognize my voice?
Madeline.
All right. I was sure.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Fill me in. What were you talking about? We just had a little phone glitch.
Oh, okay. All right. So we played, did you hear the song, The Imperials, Praise the Lord?
You know what? We kind of got a bad signal. It was one of those, remember we had this happen before where
yeah.
the music came in kind of scratchy?
Okay. Well, it was the old Imperial song, Praise the Lord for those chains that seem to bind you, serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you as you praise him. And Nan was just talking about a rough time in her life, you know, where she began to learn to praise God in the middle of that, you know, like the song before, praising God
right.
in the storm. Go ahead.
Right, right. It's true, you know, I mean, those songs are, you know, I don't know this one that you said, but those words are really... You know, they're very powerful. We, you know, and it just stresses the importance of that. I mean, I it's hard to think of another way to say it other than practice. You know,
right.
that's how I
yes.
feel for myself is it's very difficult when you're having struggles. It's very, very difficult to praise. I mean, that's the opposite of your emotion, right? Your emotion is feeling dark and despair and you want to sing, you know, praising words and sing even can be a difficult concept.
Right, sure.
But whatever you have to do. And, you know, all I can say is just from my experience is that, and it's still hard for me, so I haven't conquered anything, but when I do it, it takes me up a notch.
Amen.
Every few bars or every few words that I speak, it slowly takes me out of
it. It does.
Really, when you're saying those words, you know, God is right there, and he's not going to let you stay in that pit. He's going to say, okay, here's a hand up, and, you know, I'm right here. I'm right here for you.
Absolutely. Let's go to Psalm 25, another one of David's. And I love to personalize these and quote them myself over me, a lot of them. And this is one. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. So whatever is going on in your soul level, we said earlier, it's your mind, your emotions, your will. It's that personality of you. It is the stuff that makes you tick, you know. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Whatever is going on in your life today, dear listener, in you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Your enemies are things like we've been talking about on this show today. Fear, anxiety, shame, guilt, condemnation. All those things that would try to have you, take you down. Verse 3 of Psalm 25, David says, no one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame. Now he's talking about people who are treacherous without cause. I love verse 4 of Psalm 25. Show me your ways, O Lord. That's a song we sing a lot at church. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Aaron, whoa. I tell you, isn't it important to lift up our situations to God, or to say, God, here, I feel this shame, or I feel this guilt, or I feel this anger or this resentment, and God, I don't know what to do with it. I ask you to take it from me, like David said. David says, show me your way. Show me the way that I can walk in your light and in forgiveness. I don't want to walk around with this stuff. Go ahead.
It is. And, you know, I think sometimes we lay it down and
right.
we put it at his feet, and then, you know, we'll pick it back up sometimes.
Right.
Too.
Sure we do.
And so, you know, I just want to encourage, you know, the people that are out there listening that have, you know, laid stuff down at
yes.
the foot of the cross
yes.
and then have picked it back up.
Right.
You can lay it back down again.
You can.
It's okay. And you should, you know, once you realize that you've picked it back up, It's time to lay it back down.
Absolutely. In other words, don't let the devil have a foothold there. Don't let that yuck from the past or whatever it is that's upsetting you. Don't let it win. Instead, this is what David teaches us through the Psalms and in his own life, that even though he was going through very, very difficult times and King Saul was trying to kill him and he tried 21 times, still, David praised God in the midst of the storm. That's why he wrote all these psalms. That's why he was able to declare that this was that God forgives, he heals, all these things. Sometimes the healing needs to come in our emotions, not just in our physical body. Madeline, I want you to talk about that a minute.
Well, that's probably... you know, I say sometimes even more so, because probably if I had to choose between a physical healing and an emotional healing, I would pick an emotional healing, you know.
Okay.
Because that really just, I think that affects your physical.
Absolutely.
And I really believe that, you know, where your mind is at is going to just make or break you.
Yes.
So people really need to kind of, you know, realize that with that kind of healing and with asking God for that kind of healing, I think a lot of other things are going to fall into place. And that includes what we talked about earlier, you know, not only accepting that God has forgiven us and forgiving ourselves, but forgiving others.
Because yes.
all of that is stuff that's inside of us causing our emotional anger, fear, anxiety, and that can cause all kinds of physical pains. And when we start to let go of those negative emotions, then we find that physical healing just
Amen.
Kind of happens naturally.
Oh, I agree.
And of course, that's not all the time, but I think it's a lot of the time, because we're so, you know, our mind is so powerful that it can, you know, heal you or it can take you down.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And there's so many times that research is showing that a lot of deadly diseases they begin with bitterness and resentment and things like this. They're tied in. So you're right about that. And so we have an obligation for our own mental, emotional health to begin to learn these principles. And this is an amazing thing that God has given us, the ability to praise him in the midst of the storm and to see what happens when we do it, when we come out of our own weakness, whether it is in the form where we're walking in bitterness or resentment, that's weakness. Whether we're walking in doubt or fear, that's weakness. Whether we're walking in anxiety or worry, that's weakness. When we can take a look at those things in our life and say, wait a minute, this is a storm I'm going through. David said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. A lot of times our lives feel that way, that it's that serious what we're going through. David said, I will fear no evil. And I think we have to get to a point that instead of fearing evil, concentrating on disease, concentrating on what might happen, instead we got to learn to praise God about what he is doing and what can happen. Whoa. That's good stuff. Aaron, and then go back to Madeline. Woo. Yes. Are you there, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. There's a lag time between you and your first word, right?
What?
Nothing. I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just, one of the things that I had wanted to mention earlier was just, you know, you said, you had mentioned the verse that talks about separating our sins as far as the east is from the west.
Right.
And Casting Crowns actually has a song about that. And, you know, it just, man, it just, that's so powerful to me. Just that image, to know that, like, just our sins are so far gone, you know? Like,
amen. Amen.
It's just crazy to me.
Well, he's our righteousness.
It's crazy. It's just.
It's wonderful.
It's such a great picture. Yeah, wonderful, crazy.
Wonderful, crazy. He is our righteousness. That's one of his names, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and it means the Lord our righteousness. And, it's amazing to know that. To know that he's the one. He was made sin. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was made sin. Who knew no sin. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. That is so true, Aaron. And isn't that a reason to praise God, for heaven's sake, right?
It is, and it's Madeline.
And it's Madeline. Hello, Madeline.
Yeah. We lost Aaron for just a couple minutes.
Okay, isn't that amazing, Madeline? That not only does he become sin, he became sin for us, but he is our righteousness, and he causes us to become righteous in his ability because of what he did on the cross. You know, all of that. Ooh, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the significance of that, you know, I mean, when you think about it, we say it, I think, kind of casually, you know, God sent his son to die for our sins on the cross. You know, I think just because we're so used to saying it, it doesn't sound as powerful anymore. But when you think about that act that he did for us, I mean, he could have just, you know, said, you know what, you guys are behaving badly, we're out of here.
Right.
You know? But instead, he made the ultimate sacrifice for us. And if we can think about that and really, you know, put the power in that when we are living our lives every day, wow, I'm okay today. I'm healed. I'm forgiven. I have favor because of that. I mean, we could really, we have the choice to take our lives in a whole nother direction. You know?
Absolutely.
I can sit here and I can say, but Pastor, this happened and that happened, you know, this is my mom this and my, you know, whatever it all is. And I've done it plenty of times and you've heard it probably. And, you know, so I can stay there and
right.
Just keep repeating that and just keep saying, but this is why I can't, you know, do this today. Or I could say, wow, thanks to God, I can be healed of all of that stuff. That stuff happened and it wasn't good. Okay, great.
Amen.
Am I going to take my, is it going to finish the rest of my life that way? And, you know, in that sorrow and you know, pity's party? Or can I say, okay, enough of that. That happened. You know what? I survived. God helped me get through all of that.
Amen.
And now he wants to give me more. What do you have for me? I mean, it's all, you know, it's really about how we think and behave, and we have the power, you know, through him.
Amen.
We have the power to change the course of our lives for the better. And, I know in my mind I want it. In my humanness, I still misstep, but thank God he's there to say, okay, let's go. Here's a hand up. Let's do it again.
Oh, you are so right. I love that. Listen to what David says about the very thing you're talking about here, Madeline, in Psalm 103, starting with verse 6, and I'm going to read it this time in the Message Bible because I love what it says. It brings it right home. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. Some of you out there that are feeling like you're a victim in the circumstances that have happened to you. Listen to these verses. I'm going to read that again. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. He showed Moses how he went about his work and opened up his plans to all Israel. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. Boy, that is enough reason right there to praise God, because he is the healer of our emotions. He's the healer of our bodies. But really, the show, we've started talking more in the last hour about how he heals our hurts and how he allows us to see those hurts from a new perspective and realize that God is going to help you use that very thing to help someone else. My daughter Lori and I were talking a couple days ago, and we were talking about a specific situation, and she said, now I know I had to go through that because now I can relate to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so who need to understand how I got through that, you know? And that goes to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, that he shows us how to comfort others with the comfort that we've been comforted with. He is our healer. Listen to this song, and then we'll go back to Aaron and Madeline. The Hurt and the Healer by Mercy Me.
You take this heart and breathe it back to life. I fall into your arms.
Wow, that song really speaks to what we've been talking about here by Mercy Me, the hurt and the healer. And we have been talking in this show just about the effects of praising God in the middle of your situation, no matter what it is you're going through, no matter how difficult life feels at the time that you're going through it. As we begin to seek God, back to Psalm 27 that David also wrote, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident." And here's the key right here. Psalm 27:4. "One thing I ask of the Lord, and that is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. And then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me." And then down to verse 13 of Psalm 27. "I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I'm going to wait for the Lord. I'm going to be strong and take heart. And I am going to wait for the Lord. As we begin to praise him in the midst of our circumstances, we begin to be confident that we're going to see the goodness of the Lord right now in the land of the living. We're going to wait on God for him to move in our situation. We're going to praise him as if we've already seen that answer. Oh, Aaron, comment on that, and then we'll go to Madeline, and then we'll end up back here at Nan. Go ahead.
I mean, you know, I just think that, I think that we've had a great day on the radio today talking about this, you know.
Yes,
Praising God through circumstance, praising him through the storm. And I really feel like God sees our effort, you know.
Yes.
That's really what I have to say for today. My, you know, just my thoughts of today's radio show is just that I feel like he meets us, he sees our effort, and he knows that, and he meets us there.
Right. Exactly. And he does. He sees our heart, and that's what this series is all about, where your heart is. He sees where your heart is. And even though we may not do it all perfectly and praise God in the midst of every single storm, we understand the concept, and we're getting better at it. Don't you think, Aaron?
I do. I do think that we're getting better at it.
Yeah. And that's the goal, just to learn. Ooh, you're a blessing, Aaron. Thank you for being on today, and thank you for being such a anointed minstrel with your guitar and leading us into the very presence of God. You're a blessing, and thank you so much. So we'll go back to Madeline here. Madeline, comment on all of this. Just say whatever you want to and wrap up where we are today.
Just a couple of things that I thought about from earlier was when we were talking about, you know, not necessarily accepting that God forgives us and carrying that with us and going forward, and when other people may not forgive us.
Right.
You know, I was thinking that that's a really good lesson for us. If someone is not forgiving us, and we know how that feels really bad. We, you know, I think we like to know that, you know, that we've made things right. I think that's a great lesson for us in that we need to make sure going forward that we forgive others. And that, I think that maybe that's why that happens sometimes, you know, things like that lesson, so that we can go forward
and make sure that we don't make someone else, you know, feel that way, that right. we're that we have that forgiveness in our heart for other people, because it's just so important, and it just feels so good, I think, when we can release things.
Oh, I agree. It does. When we can just let go and just say, okay, God, I may not understand why this happened. I may not like it. I may not know what to do about it, but I give it to you. And I praise you because of who you are and what you're doing in my life and my situation. I hand you this situation. And Madeline, don't you think that's where we got to get to? We got to just let go and let God work behind the scenes in situations in our lives instead of trying to be so controlling and make it come out the way we want it to?
Absolutely. I mean, it's important that we, you know, we really kind of, you know, tell ourselves every day, you know, remind ourselves, like you said, with notes. I use the notes thing because it's really helpful for me where if I'm in my own head as I'm kind of going about my day's activities, you know, especially in my house, I have things planted in different areas. And,
yes.
you know, so I'll come across it and I'll see it and it reminds me. And I'll come across something else and I'll see that. And it keeps things, you know, it keeps me thinking that way. So maybe seeing those notes, I'll just start to praise God or, you know, I'll say some prayers. And another thing that helps me sometimes, because I think I read this somewhere as well, is when I'm feeling really blue and in despair and, you know, I'm having a hard time praising and worshiping, I try to start to pray for other people because
right.
it takes me out of my
yes.
situation. It
yes.
gets me stopping thinking about mine. So, you know, maybe I'll call somebody else to see how they're doing and pray for them. Or, you know,
Amen.
If you volunteer work, that's something that can get you out of your own head. And when you start to do something for somebody else, you feel better.
Right. That is so true. And you begin to realize that you have a purpose. God has a plan and you need to get on board with what that plan is. And again, we start feeling better when we give of ourselves, whether that's in prayer, whether that's in praise to God, whether that's in reaching out with an email, a phone call, whatever it is. And instead of wallowing in the situation, we begin to rejoice in God. And as you were reading that, it reminded me of Psalm 31, again, a psalm David wrote. And verse 7, and I've quoted this for years, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction. This is what David says to God. You saw my affliction. Sometimes we think God doesn't hear us. He doesn't see the mess we're in. He doesn't understand. And David said here in Psalm 31, verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. And then he goes on and says what his situation is. And it's okay to go to God and say, here's what's going on. But God, you have not handed me over to the enemy. I know that you're going to bring something good out of this. Down to verse 14 of Psalm 31. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me, and let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love, and let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I have cried out to you. Oh, and down to verse 23 of Psalm 31, and I'll come back to you, Madeline, for your comment here before we wrap up. Love the Lord, all his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Wow.
Good stuff.
Great stuff.
You know, and it's fine that we cry out to God. It's okay to cry to God and, you know, say, Lord, I'm in pain. I need your help. We just have to remember after we're done crying to praise him and
right.
worship him and thank him.
Yes. Yes.
He
absolutely.
He wants to hear it all. He loves when we're in communication with him.
Amen. Amen. Madeline, you're a blessing. Aaron, too. We thank you both for being on the show. And I know you had to call in remotely today, but that's fine. And thank you so much. God bless you. And I'm getting back here to Nan and talk to you both later. Go ahead, Nan.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. I'd like to say about, you know, praising the Lord. And I think I've made reference to this on the show, but I want to do it again. When I was in a very difficult legal hassle that actually wound up basically getting thrown out. But it was just against that and scared. I was scared because of the implications of what could have happened. And it was regarding my small child.
Right.
And the Lord impressed me, get praise warriors.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I did. I went through and I determined who I knew were praisers and prayers.
Okay.
It wasn't like whose personality, whose where. I prayed and I met selection. I mean, I was really organized with it, had memos and everything going out to them. But God was giving me a lot of God was giving me a lot of poems during that period. So everything he gave me, I would give and feedback to them. So I had this whole group of people. It was about 10 people. Praising with me about what God was going to do through this thing.
Oh, I love that.
Praising with me. And it was, they drew closer to the Lord because then I was in my memos encouraging them with what they were going through. But it was like Satan got a big black eye out of this whole thing because, I would encourage people if they're, you know, they're going through difficulties, get with a brother or sister in their church or two or three or four or five and just talk to them. Say, I need you praising with me for what's going to happen.
Praise
me. Praising, you know, God's word says he inhabits the praise.
Amen.
Of his people. So I would just encourage him to get some praise warriors going and watch and see what God's going to do.
Well, we're going to do that at Beacon of Hope this Friday night, June
1st. Yes, we are.
At 7 o'clock, we're going to have a vision, praise, and prayer night and about the expansion and what God is doing through Beacon of Hope Ministries, which we're so excited about. But you are right, Nan. This is great, and this is a word for us at Beacon, too, to really praise God before we ever see the results. Amen. And see what we're praying for, and we're praising God instead. So we encourage every one of you, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, you can join us Friday night, 7 o'clock at Beacon of Hope. And for those of you that all of this discussion today might be a little new for you, that's all right. Get a good word-based church. If you're not in our area, if you're in our area, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope Sunday mornings at 10 and Wednesday night at 7. Wednesday night at 7 is interactive Bible study. We have a prayer line for all of your needs, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Send us your requests. We've got people that are ready to pray for you no matter what it is going on in your life. You don't even have to tell us the exact names or anything like that. Just send your request in, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. It's been a great time today with Aaron and Madeline and Nan. Those are members of our radio team. You hear from them regularly. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. This is Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we have had a wonderful time being with you today. If you want to listen to this show again or refer a friend or family member to listen to it, they are usually up on our website by Monday or Tuesday of each week. And so you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and catch it again. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you again next week live at 4 o'clock Tampa Bay time. Have a great week. If we can help you, you can even write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you. Have a great week. See you.